Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is October 31st, Halloween. Boo! And we're going to be here live for the next 58 minutes, and I'm very excited because we have an incredible show going on today. We've got an action-packed show, tons of stuff. I can't wait to get back in this seat every time I leave it from the previous week. So with that little bit of silliness in the beginning, I want to get right into it here. I've got some special holiday information to give everybody, so get your pencils and papers ready and get down to taking some notes because here's some good information. We have a special holiday from Aaron's Gun Shop Gun Buying Program, effective tomorrow. Effective tomorrow, November 1st, all guns at the Aaron's Gun Shop Gallery of Gun page on my website, aaronsgunshop.com, will be at cost. That's right. No matter the cost, you only pay the wholesale shipping tax and handling charge of $30 per gun. Whether the gun is $200 or $2,000, all you pay is what it costs plus $30 for handling per gun. Now is the time to buy for Christmas. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Click on the Gallery of Gun page and do your gun search for almost anything you're interested in. If it's in there, if it's in stock, you can purchase it right online and pick it up at Aaron's Gun Shop in Cameron. Now, the final balance must be paid in either cash or check. No credit or debit cards will be accepted at the final payment. So tell all your friends about this. Any gun on my Gallery of Gun page is just at cost plus a $30 handling charge per gun. Now is the time to buy, so hurry before the supplies of your favorite gun run out. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go into the show highlights. We've got a very busy show today. My CHL segment is going to cover Penal Code 9.22, Necessity, and ask a question of, what would you do? That's going to be a very big question, and I'm going to hammer you on it. Again, I will read three more stories and give commentary on the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizen column. And I have today here a very special guest today for the PEP program, the section of the program which is Preparedness Eliminates Panic or Practice Eliminates Panic. We have the Temple Fire Chief, Mitch Randles, here who will give us his fire safety brief and details and answers to some of my questions that I've written down. My product spotlights from Sentex Tactical Gear and Blackjack Firearms will cover rifle cases, rifle scabbards, and rifle barrels. And our topic of interest section will discuss the what happens if questions of unexpected natural or man-made disaster. And I might put the chief on the spot, maybe keep him a little bit longer, see if he wants to talk to me about that on that segment. And if I don't screw timing up, I might have time for a WTF moment and a gun demonstration. WTF, the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot segments, people like that. I try to get to it, and if I got time, I will. So not to waste any more time, I'm going to get right into our CHL segment. And in case you're not aware, I am licensed with the state of Texas as a certified Texas concealed handgun instructor. I guess it's going to be soon called license to carry. So we're going to be changing those initials. But we're going to be reading from our student handbook on the section of Penal Code 9.22, Necessity. This is the part of my course that I teach students. It's not so much the penal code, but what the student handbook has you think about. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the student handbook, I'm going to read the paragraph from Penal Code 9.22, point 9.22, and then when it gets to the question part, we're going to meditate on that. So here we go. Directly from the student handbook, Texas Penal Code 9.22, Necessity. Conduct is justified if, one, the actor reasonably believes the conduct is immediately necessary to avoid imminent harm. Two, the desirability and urgency of avoiding the harm clearly outweigh, according to ordinary standards of reasonableness, the harm sought to be prevented by the law prescribing the conduct. And three, a legislative purpose to exclude the justification claim for the conduct does not otherwise plainly appear. Okay, so we've got the legalese part of it, of Penal Code 9.22, Necessity. But down here in the student book, we have something to think about. If we are under public duty to stop and render aid at an accident as imposed upon us by law, it may also be imposed upon us as armed citizens, licensed and certified by the Texas Department of Public Safety to interfere with a crime in progress. Now, here's the question I always ask, ladies and gentlemen. What can you do to interfere with a crime in progress? When I ask that question to my students, I have a tendency to get a lot of answers, or I'm given a lot of answers by students that basically is they're going to whip out their gun and save the day. And I'm thinking to myself, why do we even have to go there? If you recall some time ago, I put a chart up on the video here. Some of you, if you've got access to your video, you can watch this. But some time ago, I put up a chart, and it basically said force, reasonable, necessary force, and deadly force. And each one has certain things you can do within the parameters of those areas of force. If you read the definition and you understand what they mean, you can understand what things you can do in those specific sections of force to handle a situation. And it's perception of threat. When I come into a situation, it's a perception of threat. What's going on? So when the question's asked, what can I do to interfere with a crime in progress? And I ask that question, a lot of people, like I said, say, I'm just going to pull out my gun. I'll take them out. I'll put them down. I'll tell them, hey, don't move or I'll shoot. Well, here's an example. Let's do two scenarios. Let's say we're at a 7-Eleven or any type of convenience store. And there you are. You're in the parking lot and you see something going on inside the store. So I ask my students, I say, well, what would you do? What would you do to interfere with that crime in progress? And I'll get the hands raising up and they'll give me all these different comments. And I ask them, what's wrong with just dialing 911? Why can't you be the best witness you can be on this situation? Isn't that interfering with a crime in progress? Can't you call 911 and say, hey, something's going on at the store. It appears to be this, that, or the other. The gentleman I see is wearing T-shirt, jeans, Converse sneakers. He's got a hat on. He's got a hoodie on. He's got something in his hand. It looks like this. I saw him driving his car. His car is sitting there in the parking lot. The license plate is this, so on and so forth. Or if he ends up leaving the store, you can say, I just saw him leave and he went in a particular direction. That is interfering with the crime in progress. So I'm a minimalist because I have the ability to maximize my efforts. But because I have those abilities, it enables me to have many more options than having to use the gun as a final result. I can say to myself, I can use my firearm. I'm well versed in how to use my firearm. I'm very proficient with my firearm, which gives me lots and lots of time to figure out what I can do and what I can't do. Because some people who are not well practiced with a firearm have very few options that they can do. They have to worry about their accuracy, their ability under stress, their ability to read the situation. So another example would be, okay, I tell my students, now, students, you're in the 7-Eleven, and you see a robbery in progress. What can you do to interfere with a crime in progress? And then all of a sudden, the bold statements will come out, and they'll say, well, I would definitely pull my gun out and shoot the guy with the gun. And I'm saying to myself, why? Why do you have to do that? What if it's all about body language? A lot of things have to do with body language. I teach that as well, too. If I'm in the store and I'm reading the body language of the guy with the gun, putting a bag in front of the cashier's face, screaming, hurry up, put the money in the bag, I'm going to say, this guy wants to get out of Dodge. Why should I come in and interfere with it in a physical manner when I can interfere with it by just letting it happen, be the best witness I can, and let him get out of there? Then part two of the equation comes into this. I'm in the 7-Eleven. The bad guy's robbing the cashier, and I'm watching the body language. Now I'm watching the body language. The bad guy doesn't care. He knows he's on camera. He's in a very lazy mood in the sense of not worrying about rushing out that door. He doesn't care who sees him. He's got the gun pointed at the cashier. Now I say to myself, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Is this guy going to cap this cashier? I don't know what he's going to do. Now, me, knowing my abilities and my skills, I have many options I can do. I can potentially take the shot because I know my shot is accurate and true, but then I got to worry about the repercussions of the shooter getting hit by the bullet. Will he end up shooting the gun accidentally and hitting the cashier? There's all these different things you have to think about. So that when somebody tells you, this is what I'm going to do in a situation, don't listen to them because there's no way for you to know what you're going to do. The only thing you can do is practice, 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 rehearse, put yourself under a stressful situation so that if a situation does come up, you'll say to yourself, I've been here before, I know how to handle it, here are the options that I have. So back to the book when it says something to think about, what can you do to interfere with a crime in progress? Ladies and gentlemen, you don't always have to pull the gun out. Okay, you can basically just be the best witness you can and then go from there. So with that, I'm going to close up that CHL segment. If you want to learn enhanced training, you can go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com, and check out the High Cap Adventure page. We've got a lot of classes that we do there. Now, speaking of that, I should mention the phone numbers here in case you want to call up for this into the studio. The number here in the studio is 254-773-1400. 254-773-1400. If you want to make contact with me via email, go to aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Or if you want to go directly to the website, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the next segment is the NRA Armed Citizens segment. And in this section, I'm going to read you three stories from the NRA's Armed Citizen page of the American Rifleman. And hopefully, these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe we can even get a laugh or two in the process. It depends on the story. Now, if you're not a member of the NRA, you might consider becoming one. The more gun supporters they have, the more muscle they have to stop bad legislation. Now, if you can see in the video, I got an article here, and I'm going to read it real quick before I read the stories. It pertains to why I keep saying you should become a member of the NRA. This is the National Gun Control. It's by Ryan J. Foley from the Associated Press. I'll read it quickly. It says, and the headline is, Gun Safety Group Expands Its Clout. A gun control organization backed by billionaire Michael Bloomberg that enlists mothers to speak out against gun violence is racking up some modest victories around the U.S., employing the state-by-state strategy used so effectively to fight drunken driving and expand gay rights. Every town for gun safety and its subsidiary, Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, have helped push six states since 2013 to adopt more background checks on gun sales, what they consider the single most important measure to prevent shootings. They have also helped thwart legislation in several states that would make it easier to obtain firearms and carry them in more places such as schools. The mighty National Rifle Association still has the upper hand in many places in the U.S., but every town, which aspires to become the NRA's counterweight, has certain advantages over prior gun control campaigns, namely more money, strategic support from the former mayor of New York, and a well-organized network of activist moms whose numbers are growing in reaction to the mass shootings. So, ladies and gentlemen, just don't sit there thinking NRA's got it. They need your help and support. Sign up so they can use your numbers. All right, now, story number one here is from November 2014. The story reads as follows. A group of women were enjoying themselves at the Cork wine bar when a man they did not know pressed his leg against their bistro table, violating their personal space. One woman asked the man to move away. The man became upset, flipped the table over, and punched the woman in the face. After the assault, another customer intervened and ordered the man to leave. The assailant grew more agitated and pulled a knife as he walked toward the customer. An employee entered in the time to see the knife, prompting him to pull out a handgun and order the assailant to the ground. He was held at gunpoint until the policeman arrived. Well, here are my comments on that. Number one, I guess Washington State has loose gun laws, because here in Texas, a bar prohibits the carry of a concealed weapon under the 51% rule. Two, I wonder if the guy was manspreading into the woman's personal space. And if you don't know what manspreading is, go look it up. It's ridiculous. And on a bonus note here, guys, punching a woman in the face is not a good way to pick up chicks. I'm just saying, okay? Now, number two, this one's from November 2015. No charges will be filed against a Hampshire, Texas man who shot and killed a 16-year-old burglary suspect. When a barking dog awakened the homeowner during the night, the man grabbed his gun and investigated. He stumbled upon a masked intruder in the kitchen and fired several shots, hitting the bad guy at least once. The suspect fled and jumped a fence, but neighbors who heard the shots held the teen at gunpoint until the authorities arrived. After the Hampshire Volunteer Fire Department emergency medical team arrived, they pronounced the juvenile dead. A grand jury cleared the homeowner, blah, 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 blah. Now, here are my comments. Number one, the man is alerted by his dog and grabs his gun. Very good. I would do the same. Two, however, I'm seeing a trend here. Multiple shots being fired and the intruder is either missed or only hit once. Three, practice under duress is the way to better your accuracy. Take a course from me to enhance your accuracy and speed. Remember, aaronsgunshop.com. Story number three. This is from September 2015. A man had entered the Magnet bottle shop and opened fire, killing a clerk and one customer. Todd Scott, who was in the shop at the time, immediately dropped to the floor and drew his licensed handgun. Thinking that the assailant would continue shooting, Scott stood up and fired six times, chasing the assailant from the store. I consider Scott a hero, Rockdale County Sheriff Eric Levette told local media, because although we did have a fatality at the location, he did save some other lives that were inside the business. Authorities tracked down the suspect the next day after the man had also allegedly killed his parents. He refused to surrender and killed himself during a shootout with police. Okay, my commentary on this one. Number one, he shot six times and didn't hit anything. Where did the six bullets go? Number two, he's a hero because no one got hurt from the shooting of those six rounds. Three. If someone did, he possibly would have been charged with reckless injury of a third person. Number four, practice, practice, practice under duress, not just at paper. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes the NRA section. We're going to take a one-minute break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to get to talk to our special guest, Temple Fire Chief Mitch Randles, and I look forward to asking him a whole bunch of questions. So we'll see you on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, today is Halloween, October 31st, 2015. And with me today, I've got a special guest, our fire chief from Temple, Mitch Randles. But before I do that, Chief, I want to just make a couple of notes real quick. Once again, if you want to call into the show, the number here is 254-773-1400. 254-773-1400. If you got a question concerning fire, I got the best guy in the room here to give you an answer. Before I go, I want a couple more notes, though. On next week's program, I have a special guest coming out. I'm pretty pumped up about this special guest because I have a long relationship with this gentleman. His name is Lenny McGill. He's the founder and CEO of theglockstore.com and gunvideo.com, and I'm sure a lot of you know who he is, but he's going to be on here on the show next Saturday, and we look forward to seeing him. And don't forget to purchase our Open Carry 2016 calendar. If you go to the aaronsgunshop.com website, go to the radio page and scroll down, you'll see it there. Every purchase of a calendar helps support to keep this radio show on the air, so if you like what you're hearing, please help support the program and purchase as many as you can and give them to all your liberal friends. I'm sure they'll just love it. Okay, with that, I would like to introduce to you on screen and on Radio Land our Temple Fire Chief, Mitch Randles. Mitch, Chief, say hi to everybody, would you?
Good afternoon, everyone.
I'm going to read to everybody your bio just to get them up to speed as to where you're from, what you've done, and why you hold the special designation of Chief, okay? Chief Mitch Randles came to the Temple Fire and Rescue in August of 2014 after retiring with 23 years of service with the Joplin, Missouri Fire Department. He has been in the public safety field for over 28 years and has served as a firefighter, paramedic, and law enforcement officer. His education includes an MBA, BSBA in management, AA in fire science, and is a graduate of the National Fire Academy Executive Fire Officers Program and holds a Chief Fire Officer designation. Chief Randles is married to his wife of 27 years, Susan, and has two children, Sabrina, 19, who is a student at Temple College, and Kevin, who is 22 and lives in Mississippi with his wife, Rachel. So with that intro, again, Chief, welcome to the show. It's always a pleasure to get to meet people of prominence in the area who hold an important position. And what I do with all my guests, Chief, I always write down a set of questions because I never want to put anybody in the hospital. I want you to get the opportunity to give a good, thorough answer. So what I'm going to do, I sent you some questions, and we're just going to read them one through however many I've got. Sure. And feel free to make any comments, stop me, shut me up, say, oh, no, that's not right, okay? So with that, let's go on. Chief, question number one. I personally don't think the majority of the people realize how important a fire chief is. They always hear about the police chief because of all the crazy stuff going on in society lately. So with this opportunity, can you please explain why the position of fire chief is so important and what are the duties and responsibilities of a fire chief?
Well, sure. You know, my primary duty is to make sure that the citizens of Temple are protected. And where I differ from the police chief is, you know, we're protecting them from fire, medical emergencies, traumatic emergencies, such as car wrecks and what have you. And just basically everything that, that law enforcement or one of the other departments in the city can't handle, that kind of falls into to our privy. And, you know, we do hazardous materials and trench collapse and, here lately, a lot of swift water rescue and you know, flood rescue, and so just any of those things that there's not a another specialty for out there, that kind of falls to the fire department.
I was going
to
say that. I was going to ask you, you know, funny question in the sense of sarcastic question being, you know, with all this water, do you have to worry about fire anymore? Well, no, not really. You got all these different things you have to worry about with water rescues. What about saving kittens from trees?
You know, that's one of those things that comes up from time to time. We actually don't routinely rescue cats from trees.
But would you if you had to?
I will tell you, over my course of my career, I've done about a half a dozen cats from trees.
You heard it here, everybody. You heard it here.
But, you know, normally the cats will come down on their own, and normally getting us involved just makes the matter worse for the cat. So.
Okay, gotcha. So don't call them up for a cat rescue. The cat will come down on their own. All right. Chief, because time is limited, I'm going to move on. Number two, there are many things to consider when it comes to fire safety that people could unintentionally overlook. In your opinion, or factual data, what is the most overlooked safety precaution when it comes to fire safety or prevention?
Well, I think you know, one of the things I want to mention, especially since today is fallback day, and so we're supposed to turn our clocks back, is smoke detectors. Obviously, today is the day you need to change your smoke detector battery so that it is fully functional. You know, they silently sit on your wall or ceiling and guard your family. And so it's very important to have them in operational order, and that is very simple to do, and that is just to replace the battery, either AA or AAA or 9-volt, and put a fresh one in there for the next 6 months or so while we're not in daylight savings time. And I think probably the other thing is just the fact that folks don't realize that an emergency will strike them at some point in time in their life. You know, statistically, everyone has a major event, some sort of a major event that the fire department gets involved in at least once or twice in their lives. And I don't think many people realize that. It's always the thought of, well, that's not going to happen to me. It's going to happen to someone else. And I'm here to tell you that that's not always the case.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you heard from the chief. That's why we put him in the PEP section, not the topic of interest section. PEP, practice or preparedness eliminates panic. Now, chief, number three, since you said smoke alarms, we should mention that this year's theme is hear the beep where you sleep. Mm-hmm. Since about half of the deaths from home fires happen between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. when most people sleep, mm-hmm. smoke alarms then become extremely important. Can you tell us all we need to know about the care and installation of smoke alarms? Now, you mentioned a part of it. Is there anything else when it comes to equipment like fire extinguishers, etc.?
Sure. You know, with the smoke alarms, make sure your smoke alarm's not older than 10 years old. And if you open it up, there should be a date on it and look at it. And it should never be more than 10 years old. If it is, then you need to get a new one. And if you don't have the means to get a new one, contact us down at Temple Fire Department, and we will get you one. They are that important.
Well, that's great to know. So seriously here, if somebody is truly not able to purchase one, how do you tell somebody who's trying to, you know, scarf one up for free as compared to somebody who's really desperately in need one?
Well, I mean, you know, most folks are honest about it, and if they are in need, we'll come in. And you know, we're not going to turn anyone away. But, you know, if you come in and ask for 20 smoke detectors, obviously you're not going to get 20 smoke detectors from us. So, it's very, very important that you put one in your home. But, you know, if you're a landlord or something along those lines, you know, you can't get them from us to put in every one of your apartments. You know, you should take, you should go out and purchase the ones for
If they're a landowner or a property owner for an apartment complex, they should be having a cash cow of money coming in. They should be able to afford their own. Okay. Chief, let's talk about cooking in general and about the upcoming holidays when it comes to cooking. What are the concerns and dangers when it comes to cooking?
Sure. Obviously, one of the things that always comes up every year is deep frying turkeys.
Yeah,
That's a pretty popular thing to do, and it can be safe, but you definitely have to follow the instructions when you do that. You know, that turkey needs to be as dry as possible, because anytime you put water in the grease, you get a reaction from it. And so
that is key, man.
Yeah.
That's big time.
Next, you do not want to overfill your fryer, obviously. You don't want to have your fryer out on a, like a wooden deck or right next to your home. You want to put it out in your middle of your yard and on a, you know, a non-flammable surface like a concrete patio or something. And then lower it in slowly, obviously. And then just, you know, in your normal, kitchen and other cooking, as the holidays come about, you know, just be mindful of where you put down your towels and your rags and always be in attendance. Don't put something on to cook and then leave the room or leave the house for photos or something like that. If you're going to have to leave and not be watching the cooking that's going on, then wait until you're done before you start cooking.
Chief, what's the deal with the turkeys? I mean, is that a Texas thing or is that all over? I'm ignorant to this. Mm-hmm. It's a Texas thing.
No. It's all over. They happen all over the United States. We had some of these fires up in Missouri where I'm from, and so it's pretty much nationwide.
Okay. All right. All right. This one's for the children, Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Sparky? And what is Sparky's job when it comes to fire prevention?
Well, Sparky is one of the dogs or the mascots of the National Fire Protection Association, and we actually happen to have our own Sparky here in Temple. He makes several of our fire prevention activities throughout the year, including our big fire safety day, which happened back on October 3rd. And his purpose in the message is to get kids more comfortable with firefighters and the fire equipment. A lot of times, you know, we're pretty scary to kids because we're big and we're loud in everything we do, and so it's to give that kind of softer side of the fire service and relax the kids around that dog and that mascot.
So you're going to the schools with Sparky, or they're coming to the firehouse?
Sure, both. He's been to both. He does stuff around the firehouse, and then he also goes to the schools from time to time. So
I think that would be pretty good, and get accustomed to it before it ever happens. Okay, what about Halloween? Today's Halloween. Adults and children in costumes, candles and fireplaces all around. What does one do if one of those costumes accidentally catches fire because of either the wood stove or the cooking on the stove or whatever? What do you do?
Well, hopefully everybody's aware of this one, and that is stop, drop, and roll, as we were taught as kids and as we still teach kids. You know, if you do have a costume that catches on fire, you know, stop where you are, drop to the ground, and roll until that fire's put out. You know, once you've got that fire out, then get that costume off. It could still be smoldering, and you don't want to run the risk of it reigniting, so, you know, get out of that thing.
Especially with these ones, synthetic type of costumes, they just melt right on you, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, they're all marked and they're all treated with a fire-resistant process. But remember, it's fire-resistant. Nothing is truly fireproof. Everything will burn. And even fire-resistant treated items will burn, just not as readily as they would if they weren't treated.
Now, there's a lot of things to think about, everybody, so this is great we got them on here. Chief, on this one, all I'm going to say is, live Christmas trees. Any comments?
Well, you know, I'm as big a fan of a live Christmas tree as anybody else, but they are extremely dangerous if not properly cared for.
I'm surprised they even let them do it, as dangerous as they are. I mean, I like them too, but...
Sure. There's nothing like having a live Christmas tree in your home. You know, if you're going to go that route, obviously the best thing to do is get one that you can replant out in your yard and basically recycle it, if you will. You know, so an actual real live one with the root ball and everything.
That would prevent it from drying out.
That would definitely help. And, you know, it'll come wrapped in burlap and what have you, and you can keep that damp. And again, once Christmas is over, you can put that out in your yard and plant it and, you know, live that memory, you know, every day from now on. But if you don't, if you choose a pre-cut, it's very important that when you get that tree home to get it in water and get it soaking up water. It is incredible the amount of water those things will soak up once you put them in a water bucket or in a source where they can get water, and that is gallons a day of water. If you do not keep your tree very moist, it will dry out very quickly, and those pine needles will burn almost like gasoline. They will burn extremely quick and will definitely catch your house on fire if something would go wrong.
Does a Christmas light have the capability of doing anything if it's sitting there long enough?
Normally the light will not, and in particularly the LEDs. The LEDs are great because they are such low amperage and such they burn so cool compared to the old incandescent lights. But, a short in one of those lines, and, you know, a lot of those cords are very lightweight. You know, they're made for just temporary use, and so one of those cords is very easy to get frayed, and so that fray could short and cause a fire.
Okay, very good. Let's move on to the next one. Chief, does the fire department have any special learning programs for children? If so, please explain.
Sure. We go into all of the schools that are in the city of Temple. That includes both TISD and BISD schools, and do fire programs every month of the year. I've got two fire training specialists. One is Thomas Peckhall that you've right. talked with on several occasions, and I think everybody in Temple and Belton knows Thomas. And then our newest addition to that group is Buzzy Gover, or the former Coach Gover, or Coach Buzz. They both get out and do not only fire safety topics and talks, but life safety topics, having to do with riding your bike or car seats or the dangers of drinking and driving and all of the other things that we encounter throughout our lives. And we try to hit those at those special times of the year. So, you know, we'll do pool safety as it starts to get warmer, and bicycle safety. And, you know, the recent message, of course, has been trick-or-treating safety, so mm-hmm. and fire safety. So we have a program that lasts year-round in the schools.
Very good. Okay, Chief, now, you've got some explaining to do on this one here. I saw a picture of one of your firefighters wearing, let's say, a bra. Okay. Mm-hmm. What gives on that? Here's the picture right here. It looks kind of good there, though, but yeah. What's the deal?
Well, I guess the good thing here is it's not actually one of mine, but it is one of our neighboring departments. And what that was a benefit to benefit breast cancer. As you may or may not know, most departments nationwide has adopted breast cancer awareness as one of our charitable things that we do to go along with MDA and some of the other charitable functions that the firefighters do. Obviously, we all have wives and daughters, and it's something that we all worry about for them. And also, you know, one of the things that I don't think most folks realize is that men are just as susceptible to get breast cancer as women are. It's just not as well known of a problem. So, you know, we're all very cognizant of that, and so we do want to bring awareness to that. And that's what that actually was. There was a decorated bra that they were trying to auction off, and he was doing a very good job of trying to boost the cost there. And if I remember right from the article I read on it, I think he actually got the highest amount for
the
bra.
I think that's correct. Yeah, he's totally motivated. That's great. Okay, we're short on time here, so let me ask you this final question, mm-hmm. Chief. How do volunteer firefighters fit in when it comes to firefighting and rescue? I mean, how does that work when you say, you know, employed firefighter as compared to a volunteer one?
Well, and you know, in Temple, everybody's a career firefighter, so everybody's a paid firefighter. That's what they do for their profession, and that's what their job is. Volunteer firefighters, however, are extraordinarily important to the United States and to Texas. Over 80% of the firefighters in the country are volunteer. They get no pay, no compensation for their response or their training. And so the volunteer fire service is very important, in particular in the rural areas where the tax base just doesn't exist to support a full-time fire department. Because firefighting is expensive. It's something that costs a lot of money, both to purchase the equipment, to train the firefighters, to have them employed.
It's incredible.
Just expensive.
It's incredible, too, because you get a cop on the beat, and somebody's shooting at him, he pulls out his gun and shoots back. You guys, you go to a place that people are running out of and run into it with axes. Yeah, you know, uh-huh. I just don't get it, but that's cool. And I thank you guys very much for the courage to do that. Chief, we're out of time, but it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you coming on, answering all these questions. I'm sure a lot of people didn't realize a lot of stuff that you talked about. And I didn't get to the helmet, but we'll have to do it another time. So with that, we're going to take a 1 minute break, everybody. And when we come back, I'm going to figure out my notes. We ran a little bit long here, and we'll see. We'll be probably doing a product demo. So we'll see you in just a minute.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm your host, Matt Bitros, and once again, I wanted to remind everybody, next week's special guest that I've got on, I've had a long history with this gentleman in the sense of watching him, knowing him, and seeing him grow. But next week's special guest will be Lenny McGill, founder and CEO of the Glock Store, the gunvideo.com, undertechundercover.com, that's concealment clothing. Also, I have a CHL class at 2:30 with seats available on the 7th of November. And please purchase as many Open Carry 2016 calendars that you can. Go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the radio page. Scroll down to the bottom and buy as many as you can. That helps keep this show on the air. Now, we're going to move into our product spotlight. This is from Sentex Tactical Gear. We're going to be talking about rifle cases and rifle scabbards. Now, rifle cases and rifle scabbards have come a long way since I was a kid. From the basic sheath of yesteryear to the high-speed materials of gun cases now, you can get a gun case in a variety of shapes, sizes, materials, and colors. Depending on your situation and purpose, there is a perfect gun case out there for you. Now, I, your host, have even designed my own AR pistol gun case that you can pre-order from my website. Go to the aaronsgunshop.com and go to the products page and you'll see my gun case. But right now, my friends at Sentex Tactical Gear can supply you with many options when it comes to gun cases and scabbards. You can also go to their website, sentextacticalgear.com, or go to their physical location on West Adams and Temple. After the show, of course. Listen to the rest of the show first. But right now, I brought in a few samples to talk to you about and show on the video here and just explain to you in radio land there. But the first one is a 37-inch tactical rifle case made by Red Rock Outdoor Gear. Its MSRP goes for $109, and Sentex Tactical Gear has it for $69. And it's a pretty nice case. And I'm going to read all through them first, and then I'll show them to you in just a second. Next is a rifle or shotgun scabbard. It's approximately 28 inches long and also has the MOLLE straps for attaching other gear and also comes with a shoulder strap for only $23. And last but not least is the rifle scabbard, primarily intended for the AR rifles due to the rifle's unique shape. So instead of just being the same from top to bottom, it flares out towards the top to accommodate the rifle's magazine well and magazine. It, too, has MOLLE straps, carrying handle, and shoulder strap, and it's only $35. So I'm going to show them to you really quick here and give you a quick explanation. This one here is the rifle case. And I know you can't see this on radio land, but it's approximately 37 inches long. There's a smaller front pouch on the top of it that you can put miscellaneous items, gloves, some type of clothing, protective gear, or extra mags, holsters, whatever. It's got a couple pockets inside that as well. When you open up to the main compartment, it's got more zippered pouches to put more accessories in it. It has two large Velcroed strapped straps that once you put the rifle in there, it will tie it down so it won't move. But one of the cool things about this case is on each corner is a triangular piece of material that it's like a cup holder. You put in the rifle stock in one and you put the muzzle of the rifle in the other, and it kind of secures it from sliding back and forth, and then you tie it down with the Velcro straps. It also has a shoulder strap that you can carry it over your shoulder. It's got two nice handles that Velcro together to make a nice secure handle. And then the other nice aspect of it is on the back side are shoulder straps, and you can carry this gun case as though it's like a backpack. So any way you want to do it, it's got an option for you to carry it that way. The other one is our gun scabbard. Looking at it right here, like I said, it's about 28 inches long. It's about the same from top to bottom when it comes to dimensions. It's got the MOLLE strips on it. It's also got the shoulder strap, and you can put different attachments to it. The one I've got a variation of this, and I've put extra shotgun shell pouches on it. So I'll put my shotgun in the scabbard, and I've got the extra shells on the outside in case I need to reload my gun. But this one here is pretty nice, too. You can get that from Sentex Tactical Gear in Temple, or go to their website, sentextacticalgear.com. The last one, this one is primarily for an AR rifle because if you can see in the video, it flares up at the top. The other neat feature about it is it's got this folded part on the bottom. So if you're carrying an M4 with a 16-inch barrel, you can use the shorter configuration of this pouch. If you have an actual rifle with a 20-inch barrel, you can unstrap the strap here, extend out the flap, and it'll be able to accommodate a longer barreled rifle to fit in this particular pouch. And it, too, it's got a shoulder strap, and it's got more MOLLE strips for you able to put more pouches on it if you desire to do so. So go to SentexTacticalGear.com.
check out their website and all the products that they have to offer. And I think you're going to like what you see there. Like I always say, don't forget your zigzag pattern. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go to a topic of interest that I think is very important. This topic of interest, I'll just read it like this. Disaster. Man-made or natural, it doesn't matter. Disaster is the key word. Gas, electric, water are temporarily or long-term not available. So what happens? For starters, your heating and cooling of your home. Forget it. Use of bathroom facilities. Where do you go? Finding water to drink and making it safe to drink. Lights. Do you have alternatives, backups, etc.? Transportation, communication, first aid, and food. These are all these things that can get affected when you have a natural or man-made disaster happen. I'm not talking just a little blackout because a thunderstorm comes by and it comes on the next morning. I'm talking a disaster. So things to think about here. If it's hot, how do you cool the house? You get hot, sweaty, sticky, irritable. If it's cold and you have no backup heat source, it gets cold. Remember, you can't plug in an electric heater or blanket if there's no power. How about the no power part of it? Go into a room, everybody. Go into a room and flip the light switch. Nothing happens when there's no power. So the next time you go into the room when it's dark and you want to turn on the light, just say, hey, if I flip that switch and nothing happens, what am I going to do? Here's an important one. Use of the bathroom. When you're going to use it, stop and realize that the water isn't running. You can only use the pot once because after that it won't refill, right? So you're going to be looking at that thing and saying, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to handle this? And I got three other people in the house. Your food is starting to thaw in the freezer and the milk is getting sour in the fridge. What are you going to do? Your security system or alarm no longer works. You're vulnerable. And because you're scared of guns and don't own any, or if you do own some but never train with them, you feel awkwardly naked to the threat of home invasion because people are getting hungry and are searching to see if you have some supplies that they can have. Starts getting interesting, doesn't it? Now, speaking of supplies, yours are running low. So you decide to drive to town. But wait, can you? Are the roads clear? Did you get enough gas before the disaster hit? Even if you get to town, do you really think the stores will have anything left for you to buy? How about this? Call for help. Are the landlines still working? Do you even know what a landline is? Everybody, we're so used to cell phones. Are all the circuits busy? If you do have your cell phone, are all the circuits busy because everybody's trying to get a hold of somebody? Is your battery on your phone dead? Do you have a method of charging it back up? Because remember, there's no power in the house, so you can't plug into the wall and recharge your battery. Through the strip, you fall down. Through all this craziness, you fall down and you break your leg. And you got a compound fracture. Medical help from first responders is delayed or non-existent. What are you going to do? The day's been long. You're getting hungry, thirsty. Oh, but wait. You don't have food or water because you thought that that would always be there at quick access at a supermarket or a convenience store. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see where I'm getting at? You've got to think ahead, just like the chief talked about before. It's going to happen to some degree, sometime or another. How are you prepared? Have you even thought about it? The easiest one to do is shut the power off to the entire house and turn the water main off and live like that through the weekend and say, hey, this is rough. I'm not used to this. How do I handle this? And that includes if the power's off when your phone starts dying because you're using your cell phone all the time. You don't have access to your computer. You can't watch videos. You can't use the bathroom. Your food is thawing out. You got to eat it quick, but then where do you go to get some more food? All these things you've got to think about. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to think like that. Now, if you do think like that and you are prepared, I commend you. I applaud you. Way to go. Awesome. Keep it up. Spread the word with others. You are pillars of strength in the community. If you are a burden, somebody who is prepared has to worry about you and take care of you. You cause stress on society. Do not cause stress on society. Become prepared and become a pillar of strength of your own so that you can truly help those who are in desperate need. So that's the topic of interest there. It was a plea for you to think and be aware and start to actually become an active participant when it comes to your own safety. Now, we're going to take another break. We're going to take a break for about a minute or so. We'll come back on the other side, and we're going to talk about another product spotlight, and that's going to be from Blackjack Firearms. We're going to be talking about rifle barrels. So on the other side, we'll see you in just a minute.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm Matt, your host. Today, again, is Halloween, October 31st. We're going to be going over our next product segment, and this is from Blackjack Firearms. If you don't know who it is by now, go to bjfirearms.biz. He's a good friend of mine. He's a gun manufacturer. They've got all sorts of good stuff, and I'm always saying his website's like a restaurant menu. You can build your own weapon and pick and choose what you want. But what he did was, I was talking to him, and we were talking about rifle barrels, and he couldn't make it today. I would have loved to have him in here to explain it. But he wrote me an email basically describing the barrels and their parts and how it works and thought processes. So I'm just going to read the email here. So take some notes down because there's a lot of good information. Okay, he starts with, "This week we will discuss barrel options for the AR-style rifle. Barrels for AR rifles come in many lengths, rifling twists, metals, weights, gas system lengths, and finishes. There are three common materials that AR barrels are made from. Stainless steel is usually used for precision target or varmint hunting rifles. It will give you the most consistent first shot accuracy, but it does not tend to dissipate heat very well, so the metal will expand more rapidly when fired, meaning you generally have less accurate follow-up shots. Chrome moly generally is little less accurate for the first shot, but dissipates heat better than stainless, so it is better when you are planning on doing a lot of shooting or want rapid follow-up shots. A couple of companies are building carbon fiber barrels. These barrels have a very thin steel tube that has the rifling in it that is wrapped hundreds of times by a very thin sheet of carbon fiber cloth. The barrels are very light, dissipate heat very well, and cost in excess of $1,000. Barrels also come in three general weights, lightweight, standard, and heavy. The lightweight barrels are usually 0.625 inches in diameter, while standard weight is 0.75 inches, and the heavy weights are 0.936 inches. Since the barrel is the heaviest part of your rifle, a lot of weight can be added or saved by choosing the right barrel for your rifle. A heavy barrel can add several pounds to a rifle. You will hear people talk about chrome-lined barrels. Chrome lining is something the Army began using during the Vietnam War when they developed the M16A1 due to using ammunition that was very fouling. The chrome lining kept the barrels and chambers from fouling as easily and increased reliability. Since the chrome lining is almost impossible to apply on the inside of the barrel in a uniform manner, it tends to lead to less accurate barrels. However, the chrome lining will tend to give you a longer barrel life. When looking at this option, consider if you want that extra little bit of accuracy, if you're willing to use corrosive ammo, and if you're willing to shoot tens of thousands of rounds through your barrel in its life. The twist of the rifling is measured by one twist of the bullet in certain length of the barrel. So, a 1-in-7-inch twist means the bullet will do a 360-degree rotation every 7 inches. Optimum rates of twist depends on the caliber and weight of the bullet. In 5.56, most rifles are in 1-in-1-7, 1-in-8, or 1-in-9, with the first and the last rates being the most common. The military started out with a 1-in-14 twist on its M16 rifle and changed to a 1-in-12 with the M16A1. When the Marines developed the M16A2, they decided that the 1-in-9 twist was the optimum for the M855 round, but found that the tracer round would not stabilize or shooting accurately with that twist. They then went to a 1-in-7 twist as a compromise that allowed the tracer rounds to be fired accurately. For anybody who's not planning on firing tracers, the 1-in-9 twist will stabilize the round a little bit more and get a better range. The M16A4 and the M4 that the military is using today still retain the 1-in-7 twist. By federal law, a rifle is required to have at least a 16-inch barrel. You can get shorter barrels for your rifle, but you're required to get a federal tax stamp from the ATF. So we'll stick with the 16-inch and longer barrels for our discussion. The most common length used on ARs today is 16 inches, but you can also buy rifles with 18, 20, 22, and 24-inch barrels. The military's M4s have a 14.5-inch barrel, and the M16 has a 20-inch barrel. The longer barrels will give you better velocities and improve accuracy when choosing When choosing a barrel, remember that if it's threaded and has a flash suppressor on it, that will add from 1 to 2 inches of length to the rifle, but it does not count on barrel length for federal regulations unless it is permanently attached to the barrel. The three most popular finishes on barrels today are phosphate, black nitride, and paint, like Cerakote or Duracoat. You can also get barrels finished in MP3 or nickel boron, though these are definitely not used much. Phosphate is the finish the military uses and the industry standard. It has been used for 50 years and is very durable. The black nitride is a newer finish and is very durable and offers a more protection against rust. The paints are good and offer you the option in different colors and patterns to be used. MP3 and nickel boron are both frictionless surfaces and extremely durable. Now, if you have any questions about barrels or any other AR questions, you can contact John or Steve at blackjackfirearms@gmail.com or go to their website at bjfirearms.biz or check them out on Facebook. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's a great email of information. You can check out this replay of this program after this show, probably in an hour or two or so, hopefully, and then the video could be up by late Monday, and you can check it out, recap on it, take some notes. Okay, now with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to finally get to a gun demonstration. I've been trying to do this for the last 3 weeks, and it's called Saddling the Slide. I have talked to you before about indexing the weapon where it's in line with your sight. I've talked about magazine reloads, and now I'm going to be talking about saddling. It almost comes in steps 1, 2, 3. You got to index the weapon, put the magazine in, and then you got to load the gun. Well, that's the part we're talking about now. So with me here, I have my faithful little 45 Taurus 1911. First thing we do is check to make sure it's not loaded. Magazine is out. Pull the slide to the rear. Chamber is clear. Magwell is clear. This gun is clear. Now, when it comes to saddling the gun, what that means is, well, first let me explain. Some people, when the slide is locked to the rear of an automatic pistol, they'll have the gun in their shooting hands, and they'll want to get their fingertips of their offhand and grab the rear part of the slide and try to pull it and let it go. The only problem is, that's good for when you're in the rain shooting at a piece of paper and there's nobody trying to hurt you. But if you're in a duress situation and your adrenaline's pumping, what happens to those 5 fingers, they end up becoming 2 or 3 fingers. And you trying to grab this small piece of metal to pull it back to let the slide go forward, it's going to be pretty difficult. So the term saddling the slide comes into effect because it puts more meat on the slide of the gun, helping you to pull the slide to the rear and releasing it. By releasing it, it loads the weapon. So I'm going to demonstrate on video what I'm talking about. Saddling the slide. I've got the weapon in my shooting hand. I'm indexed because it's in my line of sight. I'm inserting the magazine, and as my hand comes, slams the magazine home, my hand comes up and over the top of the slide. The palm of my hand, the lower part of the palm of my hand is on one side. I fold my hand over the top, and all 4 of my fingertips are grabbing the other side. I'm pushing the gun with my shooting hand and pulling the slide with my non, and I'm letting the slide forward. That is aggressively activating the gun into the ready mode by chambering around, by pulling the slide to the rear, releasing it. It puts a round in the chamber, and the gun is ready to fire all the while it's in your line of sight, so when necessary, I can take the shot. I never want to get the gun out of my line of sight. If I get it out of my line of sight, then I have to get it back in my line of sight, and that wastes time. So if we recap all 3 things that I mentioned before, I'm indexing the weapon, I'm slapping the mag home, I'm putting my hand up and over the top, pulling the slide while I'm pushing the lower part of the gun, letting it go. And here's one other note about loading the weapon. Please, ladies and gentlemen, don't ever grab the slide, pull it to the rear so that the slide stop releases it, and then slowly walk it forward. Slowly walking it forward is going to mess it up. Cartridge is going to pop out of place, it's not going to line up right, and you can very, very easily get a malfunction. What you want to do is grab the slide, compress that sling about an eighth of an inch more because you can. It gives you more energy to release and let the round go into battery. Okay, so that's saddling the slide. Those are the types of things we teach in our seminars. Again, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap Adventures page. Check out the seminars that we have to offer. If you have a group of five or more, we'll set up a class specifically for you. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or just go to the website directly and scout through it. Now, I've got a little bit of time left. I want to go over a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment here. I've got so many, I don't know which one to start first. Well, first of all, let me show you this. I thought this was kind of funny. You can see this in the video. I've got a picture here of an elk on the run. And the caption reads, "An elk runs Wednesday through the streets of Waco while fleeing local law enforcement agencies. The bull elk spent the morning running from officials along the railroad tracks that ran through the center of Waco before it was finally darted and tranquilized and released in a nearby county. I personally believe that the elk was running to try and find a gun-free zone because he knew hunting season was coming up and he wanted to be safe in a gun-free zone, but didn't work out that way." All right, the next thing I want to talk about. Freedom from guns. This is from San Francisco, Associated Press by Paul Lejas. City's last gun store closing doors for good. The only gun store in San Francisco is shutting for good, saying it can no longer operate in the city's political climate of increased gun control regulations and vocal opposition of its businesses. "It is with tremendous sadness and regret that I have to announce that we are closing our shop." Blah, 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 blah. Now, this is what happened. Clario, the guy who owned the shop, said the breaking point came this summer when a local politician proposed a law that would require Highbridge Arms to video and record every gun sale and submit a weekly report of ammunition sales to the police. If passed, which it did, the law would join several local gun control ordinances on the books in the city, still scarred by the 1993 murder of eight in a downtown high-rise and the 1978 assassination of Mayor George Moscom and the gay rights activist Harvey Milk. Look, that local politician was voted in by somebody. You see, if you don't speak up, you see what happens. You get crazy people like that. And I don't want to hear anything about, well, the guns hurt people. Well, no, guns can stop people too. So just need to learn and live with it and deal with it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give you some highlights of next week's show. Very important show. First of all, don't forget to vote November 3rd. People have died for your right to vote, so make sure you take advantage and vote. Friday the 13th, yes, the 13th is our next pistol competition. Check out aaronsgunshop.com, go to the homepage, and click on the competition link to learn all the rules concerning the competition. Haven't figured out what the gun prize is going to be yet, but it's going to be good, I'm sure. So check that out. It's a lot of fun. Saturday the 14th at the Bell County Expo Center, I will be doing a live remote at the Real Gun Show. And my special guest will be Bell County Sheriff Eddie Lang. You won't want to miss it because there's going to be a lot of information there. And don't forget, it's the Real Gun Show at the Bell County Expo Center. Check them out online, the Real Gun Show, and you get all the information of times, prices, and I think a list of some people who might be there. So that's the 14th. And we have a class the 7th at 2:30, a CHL class. If you're interested in taking a CHL class, give us a call at the shop or go give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and we can get you signed up for that class. The course is $60. It's approximately a five-hour class. It goes over all the state mandatory requirements for you to get your CHL 100 certificate that you send into the state to show you've taken the class. It's a good class. We take out the fluff. We have a lot of fun, but we learn a lot of good things. And the fluff will get you killed, and I take it out. So if you come to the class, be prepared to learn a lot of good things that you can use literally on the street to help yourself and prepare yourself for, God forbid, that dreadful moment if it ever comes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to talking to you next week. Don't forget about the gun show on the 14th with the guest host. That'll be the Real Gun Show with Eddie Lang. Don't forget next Saturday, we're going to have a special guest, Lenny McGill from GlockStore.com, GunVideo.com. I mean, for you shooters out there who carry concealed, you've heard the name. Check it out. He's going to be on your live. We'll probably have a good interview for about 30-40 minutes. So until next week, take care and God bless.